The only way you can get the attention of a person is by repetition. In other words, the only time you will pay attention to something in order to meditate on it is if there is repetition. Let me explain it this way. James said, sheep, though they be so great, they are driven by fierce winds, are turned about by a very small hail, whithersoever the driver or the governor listeth. Even so the tongue. Now, when you are driving a car, if you turn the steering, as you're turning the steering, the body of the car moves. With a sheep, if you turn the helm, it doesn't move with it until you hold it at a point for a period of time. Then the body of the sheep says, I get it now, and then it turns to that point. He says that is how the tongue works. What that means is that if you start saying something, no part of your being will respond until you are saying the same thing consistently. The reason why they say it's designed this way is that to protect you, because if it responds to everything you say, you will be dead. Because you joke about things. If you don't give me water now, I'll just die. Are you following what I'm saying here? You say things you don't mean. You go out and say, you know, man, I'm finished. And if it will respond to that, then it finishes you. So what it does is that it will not take any statement you are saying seriously until you keep repeating it. And when you keep repeating it, it says, now you have my attention. So here's what God said. This book of the law shall not depart. If it doesn't depart, then you can meditate. Meditation cannot start until you are repeating a thing. Now, when you meditate on the word of God, let me tell you what happens. Meditation, that's what I'm not coming to preach about. Meditation is a real process, which means you experience the word of God inside you, literally, when you meditate. Which means when you incline your ear to it, all right, starts hearing, and it hears it. When it doesn't depart out of your eyes, you see the word of God. All right? When it's in your heart, John said, that which our ears have heard, which our eyes have seen, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled. Now, before there's even any manifestation, you have literally felt the word of God. So meditation will look like, let me give an example. You go to the cinema to watch a movie. Now, you know that movie is not real. When you were coming in, you saw it, they said director, producer, you know it's fiction. You know. Yet as you sit down to watch the movie, as the movie starts, this young man met this young lady, they struggled together, the woman helped, you know, and the man did this sacrifice and all of that, and then suddenly he was diagnosed with something, and he came, and you are going with the man, and you see the woman struggling with him and the child, and as she's crying, you two start crying with her. Which you know this is pure fiction, but you are there wiping out the tears and you know this is not true. I mean, when I watched Champ when I was young, I said I would never watch because I left that place wailing. You understand it? When the boy was calling his father, I don't even like thinking about it. And after he fought with all that struggle and then he died after he won and the son was calling, oh God, oh, I cried. Oh, you can never make me watch that. There I can't remember what I'm making. But you know it's all not true, all right? But you can even wail more than real time. Are you following what I'm saying here? There is somebody that I know, all right, back then that they used to do Dallas, and JR was a very notorious guy. He was actually shot in Dallas. Somebody saw him and said, you, this man, causing problem in the house. I'm fired. There was one other person in America, she said, except you bring the doctor on that program, no doctor can treat me. He is very good. But what I'm trying to tell you is that when you start meditating, you watch the movie of God's word. The same way a film affects you emotionally, the word of God affects you on the inside. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, so somebody watches a horror film. And something ran underneath the bed. And then they get home. And then they sleep. And they wake up. What's going on? Now you know this is a movie. But you get home and you feel the same thing is running under your bed. So what happens is, when you meditate on God's word, the same way that movie influenced you, Jesus has influenced you. So you saw him heal the sick, and now you see a sick person, before you think about it, you lay your hands. Do you understand what I'm saying? But to get to that point, this book mustn't depart. That's when you get that kind of attention. So he says he abides. He says that way now, he says, you make your request known unto God. Ask what you will. So what you want to do is that you now want to pray according to the faith that you have inside your heart. And this is where a lot of people miss it. When it's time to make your request, listen, don't compare yourself to any person. Pray what you believe. Pray what you can believe for. Are you following what I'm saying? Many people go beyond their faith level to start asking for things that they cannot. Listen, their faith cannot carry it. All right? A person might be able to believe. That's what, don't force it. If you practice the word of God, there is compassion. You don't force it on people. If somebody says, you know, this is what I someone told me this church, and I knew the person's condition, and the person was saying, I'm not going to take any medicine. I said, look, listen to me, I'm the one that preached faith to you. We will take this medicine together. Because I understood. And this person was supposed to do this thing for 6 months. Within 3 weeks, the doctors checked the body and said, there will be no need for you to do this. It was one that taking medicine. All right, everything has been wiped out from your system. And she told me, she said, listen to me, the recovery was so fast. Had already paid ahead. The doctor said, you can go. Now, what happened is that she could believe for a speedy recovery, not for that. You understand what I'm saying? That's what she could believe for. The woman with the issue of blood could believe that if I touched his garment. She couldn't believe what the Roman centurion could believe, that speak the word only. You go to a meeting and a person preaches, speak the word, but what you can see in you is if I can touch. Do you get what I'm saying here? So nobody, let me tell you this, in the name of faith, should tell another person. If that person says, this is what I can believe for, you talk to them. Let me tell you the truth. You have not believed God for it. Listen, if somebody has intense pain, and the person that says one injection will relieve the pain, and you tell the person, no. You see what you should do, just believe God. You should believe God. And the person in pain, you have never been in pain. Let me tell you. You have never been in abject pain and confessed the word. You will not. Because you know if you are in that kind of pain, you can't even think the Bible first. You understand this? I'll show something here. And what happens is that when people teach people that way, then once they do something, right? Look, I asked one man, and this is a mistake of a man. So I said, when I was going to start church, I said, so how did you grow your church? When I started ministry. He said, we made sure that when we started, the hall could only take 50 people. So when God said you will break forth on your left and right, that was 56, 60. You get what I'm saying, yes? So when there are 60 people with broken forth on the left and right, he could believe for 60. He could preach, we'll break forth on the left and right. Then they broke forth. Then everybody believed. Then they said, let's go for 300 seater. All right? Now, but if he said, let's go to a place where I can sit 1,000, and there are 10 people, the echo. Somebody came to meet me, told me in the show, he said, I'm going to start a church. I'm going to start my inaugural service. I said, don't go that way. I said, listen to me. Don't go that way. When you do inaugural service, people will follow you. The next Sunday, you won't see them again. And since you have called it a church on Sunday morning, when they come, people think that there must be a choir because it's a church. Equipment must be there. I said, don't do that. You put yourself under pressure. Just say, you have your revelation and content. Just say you are starting a fellowship. And people will be meeting and start preaching in your fellowship. Nobody will come to a fellowship thinking we should have equipment choir. No, you get what I'm saying there? So they will sit down and be listening to you. There's no pressure. Nobody goes to a fellowship and say, fellowship, we need to buy land. Do you understand what I'm saying? There's no pressure. Fellowships don't buy land. It's churches that buy land. It's fellowship now. Fellowship, you don't have to have equipment. If you are 30, you use your mouth, all right? But your words are coming out. And there's no pressure on the outside. And power is coming out. Once your words are going in, it starts growing. I said, once it starts growing and growing, right, then it comes to a place where everybody sees it. I said, then you can now say church. But once you say church, I know people. Nobody says in a fellowship, so what's it after 6 weeks? How many people are in the fellowship? Nobody says that because it's fellowship. Fellowship is not supposed to be fellowship. But church, church growth. There's no fellowship growth, church growth. So how many are you? That's the 15. All right? Some people start business, and when they start the business, the first thing is to rent a place and to rent this and to get staff. The business has not started, but you rent staff, you put yourself, listen, you don't have to, are you from here? So all your energy, you get, you know, my office table must be like this, you know, the receptionist, you know, all right? And you already broke before you even comment. You can start inside your house, on your dining table. Are you following what I'm saying? And begin to go, you know, expand and, you know, and the energy you should use to push yourself forward, you are using to do all these other things on the side. Okay? So God now, so you get where the level of your faith is and believe for that. Kenneth Hagin will always say when he goes to pray for people who are sick, he asks them, what can you believe for? What do you really see inside your heart? Paul in 2 Corinthians said, we will not stretch ourselves beyond our measure, which means there is a measure we're not going to stretch ourselves. We are going to stay within that measure, the rule of authority that God has given to us, and then we will function, all right, in that particular way. So you do that, and you make your request known unto God with thanksgiving. Now, what goes to this? And so you say, God, this is what, you know, I can. And once you have chosen, taken that position, that's it, all right? In this particular dispensation, this is what, all right, I'm believing, I can see from your word. And then you begin to pray that. Now, quickly go to Colossians or look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. It says in verse 3, I thank my God upon my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests. So when you pray, you have to make your request. In other words, you have to tell, all right, and make no assumptions. Don't say that, well, because the storehouse is filled with materials and I need materials, then the storehouse should know that the material should come. Didn't you put it in the store for me? So you don't do that with God, all right? You make your request known with joy. And then he went on and said, verse 9, and this I pray, which means this is my request, that your love may abound yet more and more, that you may approve things that are excellent, all right, that you may be sincere. So what Paul was doing here was that the church at Philippi, he had what he called the prayer, which means that if you asked him, what do you pray? What are you praying for the church? During this period of time, that was what Paul was praying. So we ask you, what is the prayer over your business? What is the prayer over your family? What are you praying at this particular season? God showed Elijah his word. Rain is coming, and that was the prayer. So when he revealed his word to you, he wants you to stay in what is called the prayer over that particular thing until it's fulfilled. All right? You're not praying several things. It is the prayer. That's what you are praying to God. He said, this is the request I'm making over you. I've looked at your life, the stage of your development, your Christian walk, what you need at this particular point in time. Is that the love of Jesus should abound in you, in all knowledge, in all judgment, that you might approve things that are excellent, that you might be sincere and without offense till the day of Jesus. Now, I want to close with Colossians here and see what he was praying, because this had to do with the inheritance. That's the next page there. It says, or the next chapter book, it says in verse 3, Colossians 1:3, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, praying always for you. And there was the prayer that he was offering. Okay? There was something he was praying. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, since the day you heard it and knew the grace. And then he went on and said in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire, and this was the prayer, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he said this will create two things. You'll walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. That is a walk now. So you are in fellowship. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. You are in fellowship with him. The Bible says of Enoch, all right, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11, Enoch, all right, the Bible says he had a testimony in Hebrews 11 that he pleased God. In Genesis, it tells us he walked with God and he was no more. In other words, he walked with God unto all pleasing. So he says you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. The second thing is that you'll be fruitful in every good work, which means you're going to be fruitful in what you are doing. The third thing is that you're going to increase in your knowledge of God, and then you're going to be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, Paul tells us when you are offering your prayer, what to give thanks about. He said, giving thanks unto the Father that has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. So when he said in Philippians, with prayers and supplication, make a request known with thanksgiving, you are thanking him for that storehouse, for the inheritance, that he has made you meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints that are in the light. So this is how you partake of the inheritance, right? This prayer he offered here, that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, when you get God's word, this is the point I want to bring, for a situation, you get God's word, right? And you start praying this, which means you start praying, Lord, fill me with the knowledge of your will. Now, I know your will, because I have seen it in your word. Now, I want you to now fill me with the knowledge of this will. Remember, take heed unto it as a light that shines until the day dawns. He said, fill me with the knowledge of your will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding that I might walk worthy. That word wisdom means fill me with the knowledge of your will such that I will be skillful in the affairs of life. That I will have what is called wise management as shown in forming the best plans and selecting the best means to accomplish them. It is what translates, it is practical knowledge to turn the vision into action. In other words, if, let me give an example here, I'm praying to God that with long life you will satisfy me and show me, and I'm praying that, or I'm praying about health, I'm praying that, let's give that, right? Fill me with the knowledge of this thing in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. What begins to happen is that he starts turning it from vision to action. He starts turning it to a wise management, all right? Okay, you become skillful in their fears concerning that. So information starts coming from God into my heart, which means in order for this scripture to be fulfilled in your life, I start seeing things. It says, make this adjustment here. This is the best plan. You should go about it for your health, right? This is the best means to go about it. Understanding means sound judgment to see what course of action will best achieve our aim. So you are praying about your business. That's what you're praying. So what begins to happen is that you start, wisdom starts coming every day. You are praying this. Wisdom starts coming into your heart. Wise management of your affairs. You get skillful in the affairs of life. You start making adjustments, right? Which means adjustments start coming. Wisdom starts coming in. Sound judgment. You start seeing the right course of action. You start seeing, all right, the best way to go about it. You got God's thoughts. Now his ways are coming into your heart. So you start making adjustments. You start making changes based on that. You start showing you every day, right, as you are praying this. It's a new dispensation. So he's teaching you things. You are learning things from people because he is opening your understanding. Okay, you're observing things and making changes. You manage your affairs wisely. So a person begins, God starts teaching, all right, you've seen this scripture. I said you will break forth on the left and on the right. But here is the skill for this to happen. Okay, for your business to grow, for your marriage, all right, to walk the way it's described, for your children to become whom they're supposed to be that I've shown you in the word. That you're praying this prayer, but this is how you're going to manage their fears. This is the skill that you're going to use. Arrange this. Do this here. Do this there. Somebody in the office told me, said there was a family that the father will always, after they come back from school, sit them down, tell them to read the newspaper, and then they will all talk about it. And she said, I look back today, all the children are very successful. And she told me where they were working. And she said she believes is the way the man conducted his affairs with them. The way he prioritized knowledge, the way he sat down with them and discussed current affairs, the kind of interaction that they had at home, right, was what produced all of that. So God says, yes, I have said to you that your seed will be mighty, but then I need to teach you the secrets here, all right, of how seeds become mighty on the earth. It's not just, all right, by saying, you know, God, you know, we'll do that. So there's a combination now of the vision he has given to you from the word, but now the practical skill to make it happen, a wise management of your affairs there, choosing the best course of action. Okay, if you say, well, I need to stay healthy, you teach. Don't just say, well, you know, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. All right, that's it. I can live anyhow I want to live. No, right? He begins to teach you. This is the way in which this is your body. Some things were not designed to get into your body. All right, he begins to give you that. I mean, I've said this several times. When I met Dr. Krevedan, he was telling me about when I was diagnosed with cancer. He said, I got to a place that God taught me 4 ways to fight it. He said, but now, we have 323 ways or 233 ways we can do that. God has shown me, all right, certain things that when I get back, right, I need all the stress in my system. I need to get it out of my system. He has shown me how to do it. He has shown me certain things. He can teach you that this is the best way to exercise. Yeah, this is best showing you things so that, you know, teaching you wisdom. And somebody comes and says, look, you look very healthy. You say, yes, because it's a promise from God's word. But this promise has now been translated to skill here. That's what Daniel, he saw it in the word of God and started praying it. And after 21 days, the angel came and said, I have come to give you skill and understanding concerning this particular thing, which is practical wisdom. How to turn this vision you have seen in the scripture into right actions there that will produce it within your life. And so it gives you insight. And this is what he was saying. I'm praying every day, all right? And light is coming in. Morning by morning, he's opening your ears. So here, as the learned, and you are listening, you are gaining things there. And let me tell you something. If you don't listen, you run into serious trouble in life. All right? And the problem with many Christians is that the way we've done faith is stubbornness. All right? Is this, you know, I know the Holy... When you don't listen, when people tell things, you know, God tries to communicate, if only we'll start making the adjustments, right, as we are confessing the word of God, putting our faith, causing the word of God to abide on the inside of us, but praying to God, right? This is how you partake of the inheritance. He said, who has made us meet to partake? You start partaking of the inheritance. Yes, the word of God is your inheritance, but you start partaking of it when you start getting filled with the knowledge of his will. That will he has shown you in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When the skill starts coming on the practical aspects of life, all right, to get it done there. He starts showing you things, and you begin to do that. That's what Paul was praying for them. He said, listen, God will fill you with knowledge of this thing. He said that you might walk worthy of him. It will affect the way you walk with God, your fellowship with him. He will show you things about how to fellowship with him better. He says, all right, you know about praying, but let me show you how you should pray. Let me show you how you should worship God. There was a time that Kenneth Hagin's daughter was diagnosed with something. And he said, I had till 8 a.m. They told me, said I had till 8 a.m. the next morning to get it off her body. He said, I knew what I would do. He said, I sat down for 30 minutes, I will pray. Then for 30 minutes, I will meditate on the word. Then for 30 minutes, I will declare it, curse the thing on her body. Then I will go back into prayer. He said, I will sleep for 15 minutes, I will get up. He said, I kept doing it. The routine was going on until I got a phone call from my wife saying that, listen, the thing suddenly has dropped off her body. He had the skill, which means this is what you do to put power into that body there. So he says, God will teach. Don't just say, well, I believe God, you know, I'm in faith. He teaches you there. He shows you. So that somebody else who comes and says, you know, God told me this and I've been believing God, what has happened? That person can sit them down and tell them, my friend, this is how you go about things. All right? This is a skill that you use, all right, in getting things done. Do it this way, all right? Do it that way. Do it this way. When a person is believing God, God starts teaching you things. It's not just, look, I'm in faith. You know, I'm in faith. You know, I'm in faith. All right? I'm in faith. For example, let me just say this. Let's say that in your family, you know, maybe there's a common disease that kills people. Let's assume it's cancer or something, right? Then don't wait to find out whether... Do you get what I'm saying here? Do you understand this? Even if it's once a week, get scriptures for it. And when the thing is, keep pumping it in. Look, somebody told me inside this church. He said, I've known him from school. He said, Pastor. He said, this is what I did to preserve my life. He said, my father died at 40. He said, my elder brother died at 40. My next brother at 40 had a severe heart attack. He said, I knew it was coming for me. He said, I made this adjustment. Yesterday, I was listening to Creflo Dollar. There was a woman. It was just a clip. She said, I think what she was saying was that it was about sexual abuse. She was abused by, I think it was her father, because it looked severe. And I remember the thing, but she didn't. So Creflo Dollar said, this is in America. Oh, you know, if it's Nigeria, we say it's Nigeria. He said, when things like this happen, it's usually in the family. He said, is it in your family? The woman looked and said, my mother was abused by her brother at gunpoint. You understand what I'm saying? She should know that it can enter her daughter. So that's why it says that when a person has wisdom, you are able to evaluate things in life and say, look at this thing. Right? So it's important. And that's what God teaches you things and shows you things. And then you learn things in this, your faith walk, and you begin. So it's a practical thing, all right? It's not about saying that's just one phase. What people hold is what is called Sophia. That's the kind of, but it's vision. It's not practical. It's just vision, which means I can just talk about, God's word and share it. That's vision. But it has to be converted into what is called prudence, all right? Which means the practical steps you take to make that particular vision come to pass. And the Bible says, with much business shall a vision come to pass. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, we ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening.